Blog Talk Radio.
I get into it, and then the damn thing stops and expects me to do the show. Well, I'm going to do the show now. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. You guys, Epiphany, episode 27. Are we doing the damn thing? Yes. Yay. Round of applause. Yay. Hosted by yours truly, Shirley E. Shepherd. Good morning. Good afternoon. Good. I should just start saying that. Hell, I don't know when people are listening. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know when my in is listening because I do talk to myself, right? Wow, what a week. What a week. I have a little bit of mucus. I know that's gross, and people are like, why am I sharing that? Well, because I might be doing a little coughing and stuff, and it's kind of gross. But I just wanted to let you guys know that. Well, today's a little bit of a heavy show for me, and just for people I'm thinking about. So what we'll do is we'll start off. What is the show about, and why am I doing the show, the purpose of the show, and what I would love for you guys to get out of it, if nothing more than listening to me. Anyway, looking for my give a fuck, it sounds like it's the most depressing, you know, angry show in the whole world, and it is such a beautiful show. I was thinking about the other day, how do I explain to people in a different way of looking for my give a fuck? And, if, you know, for people who don't like that word, I know a lot of Christians that don't. So therefore, looking for my give a care. How's that? Looking for my give a care. And what that means is, like, a lot of times, especially before COVID and then after COVID, life has been shifting so much. And things that we have been trying to hold on to, what we care about, or I put what we give a fuck about, has begun to slip out of our hands, or the manner in which to do those things have shifted because of COVID or because of the economy or because of who's ever president of the United States. What I'm saying is that if I like to run every day and all of a sudden COVID hit and I couldn't run, I'm looking for my give a fuck to replace that running. You know, what can I find? And I think people were using the Peloton or something. So they got a lot of machines to run from home. So this show is looking for my give a fuck on the emotional realm, on the who am I, on the, oh my God, thank God I'm here. And now that I'm here and I made it to, like in my case, a particular age, 56, I made it now. What do I do? I've seen the good, the bads, and indifference. I automatically act a particular way for whatever reason. Why do I do that? And so life for me is beginning to evolve even more. But the Looking for My Give a Fuck show really started out with what? Conversation with my mom and my mom and my brother. Again, I always have to tell the story because it's an amazing story and I love my family so much. Again, our family sits down, they talk about things, and normally we all agree until I became a conservative about a year and a half ago. It has been contentious. It's been contentious, but check this out. Mother wins. So anyway, Friday afternoon, my brother visits with my mom every Friday. By the way, if you have a parent that's getting older, and even not older, I wish my son would come see me every Friday. But anyway, my mom's older, so my brother spends a lot of time with her. And at this particular time, I was in the kitchen with them, and they were having a conversation. I'm not sure what it was about, but it was heavy on the liberals are great, Democrats are great, and the Republicans are a piece of crap. And I just... Even though I'm a conservative, my reasons for being a conservative is not based on all the things the conservatives have done. So I don't have a lot of arguing points, right? But what my argument as to why I flipped is because what I have noticed that the liberals and the Democrats have done bothered me, and I don't see change. So my argument or discussion or there was in my mind was just trying to explain Mom, I just don't see the Democrats moving in a particular way. But then she would just come down on me as she's older. She was in the 60s. She was this, this, and that. So there's still hope that she has if she told mom to. So anyway, so I didn't have a lot of why did I want to be a conservative other than I don't want to be a Democrat anymore, period. So they're having this heated conversation, and they took in what I said. All of a sudden, I'm looking at this little nook. You have to understand, I want you guys to get the visual, a very small table. Three very powerful people. No, let's put it this way. Two very powerful people and me. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at their table because they're killing me. They're killing me softly, right? Looking at the table, and my brother said, what are you doing? I said, looking for my give a fuck. Again, the conversation opened up from there to where my family does listen a little bit. But I still have to defend my actions, and that makes me be able to see, listen, and be about both sides. But when you're in mother's house, you can believe what you want, but you better express her side. She has yet to to really, really take hold of complete change. So as a result of that, my brother bought me a book by Eckhart Tolle, and it is A New Earth Awakening of Your Life's Purpose. He also has a book, The Power of Now. Now, the reason that book is important to me and why I'm sharing it with the show is because it gives tools, and the tools are directed toward triggers. And the triggers are rejected towards how we do things automatically. Where did it come from? Is this something I developed? Is this something that I studied and now I know how to do it? For instance, a husband. You will always know when a man has been married for a very long time and he's just your friend, because when you tell him to do something at work, he says, no problem, I got it. Well, all my married friends tell me that when you're married for a long time, that's just what you say by default, right? So no, that's just not necessarily something that, you know, that was a learned default response, okay? Other things are, why do I default to the darkness? Or why do I default to this? Or why do I automatically hate that or automatically hate this? A lot of it could be something that you developed on your own, but what I have learned, it comes from family, environment, peers, and shit that was embedded prior to us even understanding. That's probably when we were 2 years old and everyone was trying to make us be what they wanted us to be and we were rebellious. We need to look at that, because maybe our souls are like, no, and then by the, you know, the time you get your ass beat, because you're pretty bad at it too, right? I mean, are you bad? Or maybe you're just trying not to go on with what they want for you. We got to look at that. No, I mean, two-year-olds do what they want to do. Anyway, so this book and my show is really about looking at those triggers and wondering where they come from. And then when you find them, you don't have to go into therapy forever and blame your mother or father. I can promise you they were probably a lot of the fault, period. That's just what they do. It's just a matter of looking at something saying, hey, I got this by default. I got this from grandma, Suki, so on and so forth. You get an opportunity to think about grandma if she's in heaven or whoever you're thinking about, and you get that feeling good. Or it could be a bad feeling. But you can decide at that point, you know, this is a part of who I am. It's a part of energy. So if it wasn't for grandma or grandpa, whatever, all this stuff inside of me wouldn't be here. So you can't just cancel out the bad. You get to look at it. You get to think to yourself, is this something that I want to deal with? Is this something that I want to change to make a better good? Or is it something that I think I'm going to go to my mom about and tell her why she hurt me or my father? Okay, that's already been done. And by the way, I've even tried that with my mom. And, you know, I was left with a few teeth. But again, I tried that and I talked to her about it. And as I spoke to her, she just didn't understand it. And then I spoke to a friend of mine who says, you know, it was her default. She couldn't understand. She cannot give you what you're looking for when she doesn't even understand that it was embedded in her and which she passed on to you. So all this thing blaming our parents just for, under the sun, was just kind of, sometimes we'll go to counseling and to hash that stuff back up. And counseling is a good place, but counseling is not necessarily a place where you have that person pull from you tools like this. And you acknowledge your triggers. And you say to yourself, where do they come from? You kind of figure out, oh, that sounds a lot like, you know, Aunt Sue used to do this. And if it's something that you really want to shift so that you can be a better person on this realm in this particular way, then you take it to that psychiatrist and say, you know what, here's what I figured out. And this bothers me. A psychiatrist is best at telling you when that shows up what to do. They get to bill you a year to bring forth what shows up, and then years after that, training you on how to deal with it. I'm just saying, let's cut through this. Look at those triggers. Read this book. Listen to this book. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. When you go to counseling, be proactive. Don't let someone tell you, oh, talk to me and tell me where the anger came from. No. Look at these. Your reactions, every single reaction will begin to develop the direct correlation with anger and who you are today. When you go to the counselor, you're like, you know, I'm angry. Here's where I am today. What tools? And as she or he gives you the tools, and you keep coming back and you keep learning and learning, that is active listening as a professional, psychiatrist, psychologist, but also as you, you are in control. I don't mean in control in the egotistical manner. You just have a say in what's going on with you. So I like that. I remember that. But anyway, great book. Listen to it. And just, again, figure out where you got those defaults from. Some are just great. But then wonder why it's so great. I have a friend that I know that just loves to help people. I mean, just unconditionally. She can be sitting there bleeding, half to death, you know, sewing up her own stitches. And somebody else, she'll know, call and say, what are you doing? Well, I'm stitching up. But don't worry about me. What's wrong with you? Oh, my God, this happened and that happened. And my friend I'm thinking about would be like holding the phone with her neck and sewing up her, you know, her gash, never saying a word and always supporting that other person. Where did that come from? And is that good? Yes, of course, it's always good to be there for someone and to, you know, always be a sounding board, especially if you don't have judgment. By the way, I have a story about the judgment in 1 second. However, people that do that, you need to say, you know, I really want to be there for you. And I got this, but I'm in the middle of something right now. Can I call you back? People that give their all, no matter what condition they're in, tend to not care for themselves. And I'm not saying be selfish. Fuck that. You take care of you, girl. No, that's not. If your default is to care for others, that is the worst advice you give to fuck everybody else. No, not all that. But instead of taking the call when you're sewing up your wound, you know, you might want to say, hey, let me call you back. Let me take care of this. And you kind of sew it up. You put the alcohol on, whatever. You can best believe that person that cares about everyone else, once he or she gets themselves together, at least, you know, they sewed up their, they dealt with the gash, whatever, they're going to call you back because that's just what they do. That is a part of their character. A lot of Black people have that. A lot of women have that. Men have a different way of doing that. Men are amazing people, but they just do things differently. And we tend not to talk about how men do things because we're so trippy off women, right? Because women want to talk about it and figure it out, all that shit. No, men are a different species. But again, the issue becomes, how come they automatically jump to this or that or shut off? Why do they do that? Are those safety mechanisms? Are those good safety mechanisms to where they're going to keep them alive? Or are there something they can do with those mechanisms to shift, not to dishonor where they came from, but it's a new time. When our parents told us, when, you know, I'm 56 now, so some things that my mom may have told me how to handle things, I shifted just a little, but without getting rid of the core purpose, the core protection. You know what I mean? So men do the same thing. So what we have to come back to, as for men, why? Why do we trigger out like this? What happened? What's the pressure from? And it can go all the way back to slavery and how we're, it can go as far back as it needs to go. But at some point, it has to say, what of these things can I do to better myself in this time? Okay? You do not disregard the past. That's because that makes the totality of who we are. It's just a matter of some of these things can shift. Speaking of that, really quick, going back to a friend of mine who would call on me, and I'm a very, fair weather friend when it comes to, I'm not going to say anything, I'm just going to listen because I think I know everything, which is not true, but I kind of, no, it's not true. Anyway, a way this could be done is a friend of mine said, she shared with me about some things, and I said, why didn't you tell me earlier? And these were things that women normally share with each other, and it's, of course, about relationship. And she said, I didn't want you to pass judgment. And for the first time in my 452 years on this earth, minus a few years, I said to her, what does that mean? What does that mean? Again, clarity, asking people for clarity is key also, okay? Knowing triggers, understanding triggers, and asking for clarity. Because I didn't want you to judge. I'm your best friend, but how could I judge, you know? And so I had to ask her because I was about to say that. I'm like, you know, what do you mean? Anyway, she explained to me I said, what does that mean? What does it look like to you? Because a lot of times they're afraid to say it. You've been their friend for 50 years, and all of a sudden they're telling you, I think you're judgmental. And then she finally just said, when I talk about XYZ, will you just listen? I was like, oh, I have to listen? He said, yes. And then she said, and then I will give you the times in which I'd ask for your advice. That was the most honest friendship and the hardest thing, because I think I know it's best for my friend, and she doesn't, but that's not the issue at hand. The issue at hand was truly listening and being a part of the listening. Oh, wait, I had some notes on something else I wanted to talk about, and then I wanted to talk about those men that just beat up that poor young man. I only want to talk about that for a minute as to triggers and where that came from. Okay. I want everyone to do something from now on. If you see people, this is off topic of triggering and all that. I have had the liberty the last couple of weeks in my new position to see a lot of young adults. And you can look at these young adults who are bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. And sometimes their thought process of what they think life is or what they think life isn't, it's a little off. And it's not off. It's something different than I've heard. But more importantly, I always kind of stick with who they are as their character. And in the last couple of weeks, I have been able to mentor, indirectly, about three young women who one went from, I'm afraid to get my master's degree, and, you know, I'm afraid to ask for, she wanted to move up in the company. And I was having coffee with her, and I just simply said, hey, you know what, I get it. You can be afraid, but you know what, why don't you just do it? Failure is failure. But then again, what is failure if you don't try? And you can always shift. There's always, you can start something and shift it and change it and just shift it. Life is not a guarantee fuck up or fuck down. I'm like, you know where that came from. No, you just take chances. I have taken so many chances, and most of my chances I have failed. I mean, I just said to you guys, I had a new job 3 weeks ago, and that just completely shifted me out of what I was doing previously, that I wasn't doing well at, because I was staying in an environment that was keeping me from being true to self. Again, change, growth, fear, all that, it can all be adjusted. So if she starts this course next month and she doesn't like it, she can adjust it, but she started it. Starting and not finishing are two different things. You can always start something and you can shift it or you can change it. But if you're going to start a schooling and you want to get your master's degree, I'm just putting this out there, but you started with something you thought was good, but you still have the desire to complete the master's degree, you find a course and you complete the degree. Okay? If you're in business and business, you wanted it, I mean, I had this business all locked up. I tried that business. It fell faster than I finished locking it up. Okay? Huge. Something like that, I had to completely remove that and restart. That's not a failure. That's completely a revision. Okay? So there are two things. You want to start something. You want to go to college. You start off in economy and economics or something. You don't like that. That doesn't mean you quit. That means you find something else that's going to pull you through to get that degree or whatever you want. Okay? But you can always change. You can always do things anew within that goal. Well, please, I want people to know that. The other thing is, a lot of us run into people who are just really good. And a lot of times they're better at, they're just like, where I was working, some of these girls are better than I am. And it's not competition. It's just like, shit, this is cool. Let me make them even greater so that I will leave a legacy of greatness and they can keep training and training and training. The legal profession has really gone down the tube. So finding great people and pulling out their greatness is key. So as we are older and we're seeing young adults do certain things, don't judge how they do it. Just stay within their character and help them push through. Help them push through. We're not seeing that a lot. And I'm just excited that I'm mature enough to know it's time to, you know, pass whatever is called. Still stay great. Don't get it twisted. They'll never be as smart and good looking as I am. They just might. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there. It's really important. I just feel like the young adults are just looking for guidance without what? Without judgment and without us dictating to them what they want, just telling them how great they are. Okay. Another thing is, there were a couple of people that I know that had birthdays. Yay. And then one person I know, I don't know if she's, her mother passed. I think we talked about that last week. And I want to say something really quick as a something I had heard a long time ago, and I even gave birth. When a woman gives birth, technically, I always believe that pain, that whole thing, I think we die for that moment until that the head goes through there. And the reason I kind of feel that, because when I was having my son, there was this, it was this light, but it was like a pin, it's like a it penetrated right to the middle of my, between my, my breastbone. Just like, boom. I was like, damn, what the hell was that? And I can still remember that because that was that moment I realized I was now a mother. It was just like, I mean, it was crazy. And that was like, okay, boom, you're no longer this. You're responsible for this. But it was in a spiritual type thing. And in fact, it hit me so hard when my son was coming out looking like a little monster. You know how the arms are all spread out and stuff. He scared me. I was 23. I mean, I really shouldn't have had a child that young. I was feeling that pain, and I was going through this, what's going on? And then they're down below sewing up my in-between them before I completely die, right? And then this child coming up, and his hands look all crazy, and his father was with me, and the nurse said, who wants to hold the baby? Now, 90% of the times, the woman looks the baby on the chest. I'm still feeling the what the fuck just happened to me, right? And so his father got to hold him first. And, you know, and that's fine. Women, it's okay for fathers to bond. In fact, they're really, really great friends anyway. But I really wasn't adding that, but they are good friends. But coming back to that, it has always said that when a woman gives birth, she dies to give birth. So when that mother dies, when the mother, whether she gave birth or not, or a woman, when she dies, what is she leaving? Because, again, a mother who gives birth, and I'm not sure other mothers, I'm sure just through the love of themselves and giving of self, these are women that didn't have children or who are too young to have children. Women give something. But when they die, what are they leaving? Because I'll go back to being a parent, a mother, when my son came out of me, pushed him out, big-ass head, they got a big-ass head. They had to sew up for like a whole bunch of hours. No. He had a big head, though. That thing hit me. My God, I'm a mother. My son's being held by his father. And my whole life shifted. And then mothers, I have not crossed over yet. My mother hasn't crossed over yet. But I know of a few stories of a birthday being a day in which a mother hostile. Let's see. Because the child she gave birth to and ultimately died is there. And now she is crossing over. That leads me to believe that mothers never go anywhere. Because they're either leaving a big head child, right? Or leaving their energy. Remember, when we give birth, it's a technical death. And we come back alive, and there's our kids. There are a few people I know that have had an opportunity to hold their parents' hands as they watched the transitioning, or they felt the transitioning. It's like that shock. My mom's no longer in the physical. But isn't it weird how they hold your hand? And as they go one way, their energy and true whatever you need on this physical realm, because it's a strange place, we need a physical object to believe in anything in some instances. But when she held you, she never leaves. Women, again, whether you have a child or not, we are the salt of the energy of this world, I believe. When we leave, we leave, whether it be through motherlyhood or just whatever, women need that softness, that whatever this world needs to contradict, not to complement what men bring. Because there's another transition that goes with men. Now, I've accepted that one day. Something's going to happen, my mom, me, whatever. But as I'm learning, again, 3 weeks ago we talked about death. Remember, I really thought I was going to make it out alive. They said, oops, sorry. Yeah, he did. He said, you know, ain't nobody gonna get out of here alive. And I was like, I'm getting out. And then 3 weeks ago, he says, yeah, everyone's gonna die. Right? And then, you know, it starts to show up. And it and then you start to decide, how are you gonna, what is this about? I think the gift is anyone that gets to hold on or be close when their parent is transcending. It's a heaven sent because they're telling you, I'm here. I'm still here. I'm about to go over there to the corner, but I'm still here. And they are. They're always there. I know that. My friend's mom, who passed away, and I told her, I'm like, she ain't even crossed over. Now I sound like I'm crazy, but she hadn't. But anyway, to be able to do that from a day in which you were born and watching someone who gave birth to you transcend on that same day is a glorifying thought process of her legacy, her energy never ends. Never. That was needed. That would, when it's your birthday and someone passes on your birthday, you are beyond blessed. And the duty bestowed upon you is made up with the spiritual being of your mother. That's good. I like that. And I give my heart out to everyone that's going through whatever they've been going through. But I want us to all rejoice at some level that you're with us. Sometimes I think our spiritual people are with us more than the physical. Have you ever noticed that? You call your friend, hey, girl, I'm in the middle of, you're like, I have an emergency. Yeah, go call me back at 6. I got me a date, right? But then if you call on your angels or something like that, they tend to show up instantaneously. I don't know. Just wanted to bring that out. These topics are not just for everyone else, but for me too. Because, you know, I need it, and I'm probably talking to myself anyway. So I can talk to my id and then my ego, and then they can, you know, respond. If my ego and id responds to this episode and talks to me, I will let you guys know. Because then I ask you to come and get me and take me off the show. Just handcuff me and put me in the little, wherever they take you, and make sure that I'm wearing all white, but at least I get a TV. Because then I know I've lost and I got a complete mind. Anyway, we have 2 minutes. I want to dedicate this to men. We saw that. I didn't watch it. There was a situation in Memphis where the police officers just really beat the heck out of this poor kid, and he ultimately died. My issue was that it wasn't about all the politics and all that stuff. It was just like black men. It's just hard for me to believe that what those officers did was something they learned from their parents. No, it's just something that, I just don't know. Black folks, usually black men, just don't have that by default to kill a nigga. They will whoop you like inside and out. And hopefully keep, you know, you'll be alive so you can say, yeah, I don't fuck with so-and-so, I need to whoop my ass, whatever. But the hatred that I saw and the ugliness and the anger against our own. Where did that come from? We need a conversation. Because we need to revisit those triggers, because those triggers keep working like that. Whatever they're coming from, we're in trouble. Because our men are supposed to be our strength and protectors. If those men beat another man like that, I'm only left to assume that their significant others might not be treated too well. Anyway, I'm not going to close my show on that. I'm just going to say we're going to talk about that, definitely. Okay, I have like 30 seconds to say something great. You know what? We're here today. And everyone that has gone before us is here with us at all times. Reach out. Reach out love, I suppose. Look at people. If you see greatness, pull it out of them. Watch them shine. Be true to self. Drink good wine. Do that in there. you do, you have a great week. And until then, I am signing off and reminding you guys to let's make great, great memories. Take care.